darkness at thy speaking, it was done. For created light we thank thee, while thine ordered seasons run. Alleluia, alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to the Epistle of Hebrews, the first chapter. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. And he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. For to which of the angels did God ever say, "You are my son, today I have begotten you"? Or again, "I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son"? And again, when he brings the firstborn into the world, he says, "Let all God's angels worship him." Of the angels, he says, he makes his angels winds and his ministers a flame of fire. But of the Son, he says, "Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of uprightness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness beyond your companions. And you, Lord, laid the foundation of the earth in the beginning, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like a garment. Like a robe, you will roll them up. Like a garment, they will be changed. But you are the same, and your years will have no end." This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. When I was a youth, I was incorrectly taught, and maybe you were too, that God worked through the law in the Old Testament, whereas in the New Testament, God worked through the gospel. Yes, I was taught that the Old Testament was all about the law, what you should and what you should not do, which is correct. That's what the law is all about. And that the New Testament was all about the gospel, which the gospel is what God has done, which that is correct. However, the problem happened with this poor teaching when I began to understand and see this division between the Old and the New Testament, where, like I said, that the Old was simply about the law and the New Testament was about the gospel. As a result of this poor teaching, I began to see what you would say a division between the Old and the New Testament. Otherwise stated, since I saw the gospel as a great importance, the New Testament became for me where it was all at. The New Testament was the really relevant section of the Bible, whereas the Old Testament inadvertently became a somewhat useless collection of stories, stories that were only there to somehow make me more moral. You know how that goes. Be more courageous like David. Study hard to have wisdom like Solomon and so forth. As time went on, though, I thankfully began to see the continuity between the Old Testament and the New Testament as well. Otherwise stated, I came to rightly see that there was both law and gospel in the Old Testament, as well as both law and gospel in the New Testament as well. Furthermore, I began to see that the purses and the places and the events of the Old Testament were not just mere moral stories, but were amazing shadows, yes, shadows of the New Testament. Yes, I began to see properly that the people and the places and all the events in the Old Testament were like sketched outlines. I came to see that the Old Testament, yes, the Old Testament as shades and shapes on a canvas that remained unfinished until the revelation of Jesus Christ completed the canvas, giving color and giving hues yes, giving it definitive glory. Now keep in mind, while it is dangerous for us to consider the Old Testament as a mere collection of, yes, irrelevant stories, it can also be equally dangerous to fall into another extreme. That extreme is that we can also diminish the person and the places and the events of the Old Testament by writing them off as just, you know, mere dim spiritualized shadows of the New Testament realities. In other words, while it is right to say that the Old Testament purses and the Old Testament places and events that we so often read of in the Old Testament are outlines that shadow the New Testament, it would be wrong for us to say that the Old Testament is nothing more than a meager spiritualized obscurities that hint at the New Testament, that they are just some meager stick figures and shapes on that canvas that show us pretty much nothing. Now, to avoid both of these entrapments, we must maintain that the persons and the places and the events of the Old Testament were real persons. They were real places and real events that not only told the story which Jesus completed, but they also declared the promises. Yes, they declared the promises that Jesus fulfilled. Within these real persons and real places and real events of the Old Testament was Jesus. He was present, the Word of God, present in the history of Israel. What this means is that, yes, both the Old Testament and the New Testament, they unveil the same God who delivers his holy law. The Old Testament and the New Testament both reveal the same God who delivers his sweet gospel of grace. Yes, both the Old Testament and the New Testament, they show the same God reaching out to sin-fallen creation. They both show the same promise of the Lord wanting to be with his people to the very end of the age. They both show God's act of redemption in Jesus Christ. The Old Testament and the New Testament, they have the same author with the same message tied together in the person and the work of Jesus. Now, with all of that said, during the next several Advent services, we're going to briefly examine three very prevalent offices that emerge. Yes, that emerge in the Old Testament. The offices of the prophet, the priest, and the king. Yes, in the Old Testament, we see these three prominent roles, these three important offices, these three important vocations of prophet and priest and king. These three positions were important positions and callings in the Old Testament, and they were filled by real people. Tonight, though, we are not going to look at all three of these roles, but we will look specifically at the office and the role of prophet. This leads us to ask the next question: who were the Old Testament prophets? The prophets of the Old Testament, they were individuals who spoke rebukes towards sin, they proclaimed mercy to the crushed, and they also spoke in connection to the events of the past and the events of the present and the events of the future of that time. They functioned as mediators between God and people, proclaiming only what was revealed to them by God. Take, for example, Moses. Moses, yes, he was a prophet during the time when the Hebrews were in slavery in Egypt. He spoke and he acted and he occupied the office of prophet, bringing about genuine redemption for the people who were in slavery in Egypt. Indeed, Moses, he was a mouthpiece of God, for he rebuked sin, he proclaimed mercy, and he also told the Hebrews as well as the Egyptians the way that it is with God. Not only was Moses a great prophet in the Old Testament, but we also think of other great prophets, prophets like Jeremiah, prophets like Isaiah, prophets like Micah, and so forth. These were voices, these individuals were voices that spoke boldly into the midst of difficult circumstances in Israel's history. Now, as previously mentioned, we don't have to disregard these Old Testament prophets as irrelevant and maybe that irrelevant sketch. But we can look at their message and their circumstances, knowing full well that they not only had an important message for the people of the Old Testament, but these messages and circumstances of the prophets speak to us now. They speak to us right now, right here, because they lead us and they pull us to hear from them about the great prophet, yes, the great prophet of the New Testament. The voices of the Old Testament prophets, they echo in the past and they find their collective, yes, their collective culmination in the voice of the great prophet of the New Testament. Who is this great prophet of the New Testament, you may ask? Maybe could it be John the Baptist, for he certainly acted and spoke like a prophet in the New Testament. Well, as we see with John the Baptist, he certainly was a prophet who had a message of repentance for the people. Yet even John the Baptist's message was intended to prepare the people for another one who was coming. That one was Jesus Christ. Yes, my friends, the one that the Old Testament prophets spoke of and the one that the Old Testament prophets were a shadow of was Jesus Christ. Furthermore, from our reading this evening in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, we see that Jesus is a greater, yes, greater than all of the other prophets of the Old Testament. For God spoke by the Old Testament prophets, but in these last days he has spoken to us by, yes, by Jesus. In other words, Jesus, he stands in this office of prophet, this place of prophet, just like Moses and Jeremiah and Isaiah, just as they spoke, he speaks in the last days as well. However, he is not just an ordinary prophet, but is certainly greater than all of these other prophets, because in him, in Christ, came, God, yes, came, and tabernacled in human flesh, while teaching and proclaiming on earth. Permit me to explain just a bit more, to be a little bit more specific. Whereas Moses' message spoke of the great prophet to come, Jesus as the prophet, yes, filling this prophet office and being the prophet, he spoke not of a message or not of one to come, but he spoke of himself. Yes, Jesus' message does not point ahead beyond him, for he is not only the beginning, but the end of the Old Testament. Therefore, without a doubt, Jeremiah and Isaiah and Micah were great prophets. Moses was the greatest of all the prophets, but in Christ we have the Lord of the prophets. In Christ we do not have a mere man, but God himself. Yes, God himself speaking to us. To put this briefly, all the prophets of the Old Testament, they convey the Lord's message as they funnel us to the Lord, and thus, when we get to the New Testament, we not only affirm that Moses and the other prophets were truly great, standing in the office of prophet, but yes, we hear the voice of the Lord from the very lips of the God-man, Jesus Christ. And what do we hear? We hear from Christ the very words of life unto salvation. Christ's word of forgiveness, which is, yes, it is for you right now. We hear, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that who believes in him will not perish, but will have eternal life. We hear, I give eternal life, and they will never, ever perish. No one will snatch them, that is you, out of my hand. This is the word of Christ. We hear from Jesus, I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never, ever die. We hear from Christ, drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Finally, but not least, we hear, it is finished. Yes, from Jesus, the quintessential prophet, we hear the eternal word that is for us, for you. He is ever present as our prophet, proclaiming the blessed hope of everlasting life, the word of salvation into your ears, yes, into your ears and upon your soul, because he is not only the eternal word, but as we will learn in the upcoming weeks, he is also our high priest and our great king. Indeed, in the weeks to come, we will hear that Jesus is fully present not only as our great prophet, but also present as our high priest and our great and majestic Lord. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, our prophet, our priest, our King. Alleluia, alleluia.